Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 25th of October. Very nice to have you with us. And let me introduce the panel to you, and then we'll get started. We got a lot to talk about, so we'll get going. First, Alan Chartog is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Exciting news from Great Barrington. A juice bar is coming to the main street.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm.
They're going to have, you know, wheat germ stuff and things like that.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. I hope you bring some in for us so that we can partake. I'm sure it's better than the coffee we have. tell us about your special guest.
Oh, Murray the dog is here with us
today.
Yes,
Murray's in here.
Murray's here, and I have to say he loves Joe so much. He hops up in his lap, and he just licks away at Joe's face.
Yeah,
I've never done that.
No. He loves Joe.
After that initial swat, no. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the bacon we shared this morning.
No, I'm sure. No, he's very...
Actually, where is he?
He's right at your foot.
When Roselle is around, he is inseparable from Roselle.
Yes.
But when Roselle isn't around, then he becomes, you know, Papa Dog. I think there's something Freudian about that, isn't there? Freud probably wrote about that.
Wrote about dogs? Sure. Rosemary Armeo is here, director of the journalism program at the University at Albany, and has been away for a couple days, so we're glad to have you back. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Everybody
Very
always
nice.
Wants to know whether we fired you or not.
Yeah, everybody thinks the worst. You didn't invite Rosemary. How could you?
She was fired and then rehired.
And the increasing number of fans are coming to Facebook just because they so want my opinion.
That's
Unlike
good.
Unlike my family. Shut up.
Normally, Mike Spain would be with us. He is on vacation, so we have temporarily replaced him with another representative from the Times Union, columnist Chris Churchill. Good morning, Chris. How
good.
Are you?
Good, good.
Are you in an honorary mood or a good mood?
Neither, really. Just kind of in a mellow mood. Okay. I mean, just sit here and listen this morning.
No, you don't. You never do that.
I'm just going to sit and... get to know Murray a little bit, and
I just want to tell you, here's a little behind the scenes story. So we finished the panel at 10:30 on Friday, and Barbara, Chris, and I think just kept going in the studio by ourselves with no microphones on for another good half hour, 40 minutes.
Oh, so wow. That's pretty funny.
Talking about all kinds of good issues. Yeah. Much of what we were talking about
she was in the program.
She
was extraordinary on that program.
Yeah, she was great.
She was extraordinary.
We were talking about the story about the teacher was in Kansas?
Oklahoma.
The teacher who decided to give a speech about how all white people are racist, and the teacher has been under fire and so forth. So then the parents of the child are charging and so forth. So, but yes, it was a really good discussion. We have many things to talk about today that will, I'm sure, elicit equally good discussion. Let us begin with... Well, Elizabeth Warren is on the campaign trail, and she is making quite a stir. She is a very good surrogate, it seems, for Hillary Clinton, and saying that, well, basically she's the attack
dog. If
only
she could speak her mind.
Yes.
She's shy and retiring.
She's pretty good. So yesterday what she was talking about in a nutshell was the nasty woman vote. And the point of this being that you could say, look, Donald Trump aggressively disrespects more than half the human beings in this country. He thinks because he has a mouthful of Tic Tacs that he can force himself on any woman within groping distance, And in reference to his nasty woman comment during the third debate, Warren suggested to him that the women would be the ones to dash his White House hopes.
Poor Tic Tacs. I feel like their sales must be down quite a bit.
They came out with a great statement.
They came out with a great statement. We do not approve of this.
I'll tell you what else is down a lot. People going to the Trump hotels. There have been reports that they've been getting cancellations, stuff like that. You
well, 30% was the figure I heard. It. And then also then some of them, like the new one that just opened in Washington, D.C., is having a real problem with booking. So, yeah, that is an issue. And then there are many who just have the name on them that are now petitioning to have the name removed and to change
the
name for rebranding.
Brand.
Yes.
He's hurt the brand.
Yes.
Well,
Elizabeth Warren.
Nasty was a big mistake because it's become a rallying cry for women. And Saturday Night Live spoofed it wonderfully where Hillary in the debate, you know, the fake Hillary, immediately produces some merchandise with Nasty on that. But that actually, in fact, is happening. I went online to look for it right after the debate.
Yeah.
It was hysterical because wasn't there a bit at the end where he says, wait, I want to make sure I said everything I wanted to say. And on one side of this piece of paper was that the word
bad hombre.
Bad hombre. And the other side said nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just brilliant.
Good stuff. Very good stuff. So is she obviously very effective?
She's a great campaigner. She is. And of course, there had been thought about pairing the two of them for the ticket. And two women running together was deemed, I guess, a little too radical for us. You know, it's only been 100 years since we got the vote. Yeah, that would just be too outrageous.
Whole lot of nasty.
Yeah, she's incredibly dynamic, as is, I'm telling you, I love watching Obama campaign. I think he's a better campaigner even than president. And both of them for Hillary have been amazing.
I have to say that watching President Obama campaign for Hillary and against Donald Trump, as well as for the many down-ticket and even state legislators, he just seems like he's having a blast.
Yeah. He does. But
he's got a lot of material.
But here are a couple of interesting things. Do you all remember the picture of the devil in the novel, The Devil and Daniel Webster?
Sure.
Okay, so as you know, or even Rumpelstiltskin. Remember Rumpelstiltskin? You had to give your firstborn over.
Yes.
Well, now, Elizabeth Warren is going to have an awful lot of ammunition when it comes to keeping an eye on Hillary when she gets to the White House. Mm-hmm. So there, and I think Hillary's going to have a hard time denying her when she starts to make, Republican-like appointments, to put it mildly. But then your point is equally valid, Joe, because Obama is going to be owed big time also. And that while she's had to run away from some of the Obama stuff in the campaign, right, you're looking at things like the trade policies and things of that kind, he's going to be owed also. So the question is, does she pay her debts?
I think there's one other element to that dynamic is that I don't think Democrats are going to take over the House, but they're going to cut into the Republican majority. And the seats that are being lost by people like, if it should happen, John Faso, who are the moderates, who are the Republicans you can talk to. So they come out, you put Democrats in, you're going to be left with Democrats and the crazy, the Freedom Caucus people. And so Hillary will have this hard job of trying to make that Congress go along with her at the same time that she's going to have progressives, the liberals like Sanders and Warren, pressing her to become even more progressive, to don't put in a Merrick Garland, put in a real liberal judge as one example of what she faces. So she is between really a rock and a hard place.
So you could almost make the case then that she should be hoping a guy like Faso wins.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he could be kind of the bridge between the two, or at least give her the vote she might need to kind of moderate things a little bit.
I mean, I see this, the new House. Okay, if the Democrats do as well as they want, are going to end up. I mean, will Ryan even be their speaker? So they don't
heard,
like. They don't.
We
like
all just
him.
Heard Rosemary endorse John Faso.
I did not.
Sounded like you too. I would like to just inject a note of caution, even though I respect both of you so much in this. I don't know when John Faso was the leader of the Assembly Republicans. He was not exactly a moderate. I'm going to say that right
only
now.
Only in comparison to the crazies.
Well,
that
he would love, but he would love,
about.
But he would, but right now, in order to win in that district, he needs to be seen as a moderate. He needs to be seen as a Chris Gibson who is willing to,
Right, but he'll have to govern that way too. Then, wouldn't he? I mean, if that's if the Chris Gibson model
so,
is the way.
Question,
that,
but the yeah. question is, how many of those John Faso type seats, which involve fair fights, are there in the country?
There are enough that those are the ones that the Democrats are faring well in. That's why I use Faso. I'm a Zephyr Teachout supporter. Okay, let me make that clear.
She's a very
Chris.
Good friend of
yours. Yeah, she is, and I think she's fabulous. But the Democrats who are going to win in this cycle are going to replace moderate Republicans. The crazies, as I really think they deserve
you could call
to be
them
called,
to the right, far
the
right,
the ideologues, well, the uncompromising ones are mostly from districts that are gerrymandered and they are protected. And so they are going to stay in office both this election and in 2 years from now. So you are going to end up with this really bifurcated House with Democrats and hard-line conservatives.
And
where how do you govern?
Democrats are moving farther to the left, too. So it's not just that the crazies on the right are going further to the right. The left is going, I think the Democrats are going further to the left.
Right
so.
Now.
Well,
hence,
and what's
the ability of Elizabeth Warren to go up to New Hampshire and be the surrogate for Hillary? Very attractive. Gets much more applause, by the way, than Hillary does.
I don't question your theory, by the way, Rosemary, but how is it different than what we have now?
Because what happens now is our usual
But you still
races.
Can't govern.
Well, it's happening now, and that's like, yeah, I do think it's happening now because we've just begun to see the ideologues take the stance. You saw it with Ted Cruz that, no, I'm not compromising. I don't care if we don't govern. I don't care if you shut down the government. My position is what's most important.
Because
that's
look
new.
At who look at who he wanted to get to. He needed that same group that supported Trump. No, Rosemary, I think you're wrong.
I want to circle back real quick on something just that you said, Alan, about. Yeah. Which I thought was interesting, and in the point of who owes what here, and for Barack Obama going out and so emphatically and so beautifully campaigning for Hillary Clinton, how much of that do you think if she wins and it mm-hmm. helps his legacy and he gets the quote unquote third term? And also and you also mentioned Merrick Garland. If that appointment goes through,
sure.
Is that payback?
No, I mean the real question is what is loyalty in politics? There's very little of it. There's a big discussion now as to whether or not Joe Piscopo in the Cuomo administration, who is now accused of some very serious crimes, it will have loyalty to Andrew Cuomo. And then the question, then the feedback mm-hmm. question is, put it the other way, would Andrew Cuomo have any loyalty to Joe Piscopo? We don't know. It's a matter of individual stuff. Save yourself is what a lot of these guys do. Right now, we are seeing a fascinating trial in Bridgegate in which, you know, we're learning every day that when the ship is sinking, the rats jump off. And I don't know the answer to your question, Joe. I don't think it's enough to say people are owed. I don't know.
I think the Senate is going to move on Merrick Garland as soon as the election is over and Hillary Clinton is headed for the White House. And they would be crazy if they don't, because she's under pressure not to renominate him. She's yeah. under pressure to nominate a progressive, a real liberal. Meanwhile, Stephen Breyer has come out with a new book. And
yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It says the court can go on with a tie vote. We had even numbers of justices for big swatches of history, and there was no problem.
He was quoting Oliver Wendell Holmes,
saw the interview. It was not good. You know, he was not giving away much. He was obviously on CNN and these other places to sell that book.
Yeah. Okay, so...
All right.
Everybody's a brander these days.
Well, that's what you do, right?
How do you get the money?
So when it comes to the other issue, we talked about Elizabeth Warren being on the ticket. So then yesterday, Donald Trump was out campaigning yesterday, saying a number of things. One of them being that the polls are phony, they're made up. Boy, do you think you would have heard that during the primary campaign? Boy, he was all over those polls, wasn't he?
Yeah, and of course there was Brexit, which he keeps talking about. You know, that there was a, that they were wrong by 5 points. They were wrong 4 or 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there'll be people who believe that stuff. It's very interesting. I watched the Rasmussen poll, and it always says that Trump's going to win, you know, by 2 points. So somehow the people who are making up the polls, and I have always thought Rasmussen is a disreputable poll, some people who are making up the polls come in with the way they sample and therefore get the result they want. You know, I mean, some of these polls are fixed, obviously. How can you be 12 points in one poll and down by 2 points in another?
Well, it doesn't mean they're fixed. It just means that they're estimating who's going to come out to vote differently.
Well, the reason I say fixed, Chris, if I may just violently disagree with you, is the reason... The reason I say fixed is because if you watch the Rasmussen poll in all of these elections, it always favors the Republicans, win or lose.
But is it right on election day, right?
No, I mean, it's not.
Right, so
it's not.
I know that that's considered a Republican-leaning poll, but I don't think any of them are fixed in the terms of people are trying to get the result that they want to get.
Well, how could you possibly say Rasmussen always takes the Republican side, and when they lose,
because it oversamples Republicans compared to the other ones. Nate Silver is the person to read on this stuff, and he has a wonderful article about how the real problem right now is that if you make a mistake in one of the state polls, if there's a sampling error or a misinterpretation, it isn't just one state. It repeats in every other state nearby, so that your error is compounded, and that's why there could be a massive change from what's projected.
I'm frankly worried. I'm worried that I don't want to say I'm worried. Some people are worried that there's a sense of overconfidence overtaking the Hillary people, and that the Republicans are trying to enhance that, and that certain people will be more motivated. Some of the 40% will be more motivated to come out and vote.
I was just struck again yesterday by, we were talking yesterday about Kellyanne Conway coming out on the shows and saying we're behind, and talking about that being a strategy and so forth, and we're behind and we're behind. And then Donald Trump cuts up not 7 hours later and says, we're winning, we're ahead. Our poll show that we're ahead.
Yeah, but he's now switched to that Brexit thing, that's an acknowledgement he's behind.
Well, all I know is...
Voices, they're phony and they're rigged.
Well, I know you got to go to a break.
All of the above.
Yeah.
I know you got to go to a break, but Joe, but I'm just taken with the kind of... mail we've had this morning, one of which said, from Mary, said, at the store where I work, tic-tac sales are noticeably up.
There you go.
All right.
That's all you need. All right. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. We have a lot of other stuff to get to. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Chris Churchill make up the panel this morning. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll continue after this short break. Good morning, and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue, along with our panel this morning, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Chris Churchill. We welcome you to join us again, roundtable@wamc.org. We're going to go to some letters. We have several regarding our conversation earlier, and then we will pivot to a discussion about the election, but this time having to do with how this may be a turning point for the legalization of marijuana. We will talk about that in just a moment. First, some letters.
Well, there are many letters on things like Tic Tacs and Murray the dog. Somebody asked me if Somebody asked me if I would hold him up so that they could see him, and I did during the break.
Posted a picture.
Rosemary posted a picture
on Facebook.
And Anthony said, I certainly did. He's very handsome. Thank you very much. You see, so there was that important letter, and it was. Because what is more important than Murray in your life? Matt says, panel, in order to go, in addition to Garland, Hillary could have two appointments in the first 2 years, given the 2018 senatorial elections look bad for the Dems. Do you think the Republicans will obstruct her for 2 years if the Dems fail to take the Senate this fall? Great question.
I think she's going to have 2 years at most. The House in the midterms will, it's like heavily Republican, and in places where they're not going to lose. And
gerrymandered.
Right. So it's set up so she can't do well. So she needs to move quickly.
But the question then is, does the Senate have the gall to hold up any Supreme Court appointment for 2 years?
You heard John McCain, and he's hardly a flaming conservative. He's not the worst one. And he says now he misspoke, but what he said was, we intend to hold up any appointee she makes to the court.
Well, the point really there is that McCain can either be the most sympathetic of characters, and you can really like him on some things, but he also can be completely mishugana, which is crazy.
He was tortured. You don't get over that.
Well, that maybe now, yes.
He's also running for re-election, which is also
torture. Absolutely. And he needed those votes in Arizona.
It can make you mishugana.
Right. Okay, so, and then Jerome says, overconfidence? No, relief. Hillary was resoundingly presidential at the last debate. They are going to run up the score and bury their opponent. No love is lost between the two candidates. Elias says, Garland is a great judge. However, at 63 years, he is too old. Hillary must look at the very wise appointment of a 42-year-old Justice Thomas as the proper strategy, or I'll add to Justice Roberts, as a proper strategy to ensure a long tenure of your political philosophy.
I really want to disagree with that. I'm the ageist here, and I think that old people need to get out of the way. But at 63, he's got at least 20 years that you could count on him to be an incredible judge.
Well, and that experience counts for a lot, I think.
Yeah, that's just not a good way to think for 20 years. And you know, what's wrong with the idea of centrist, of someone who's not blatantly conservative or blatantly liberal on the court, who just is a good thinker, who can move from one side to the other? Would we be so terribly off if we had more centrists on the court?
Well, I agree with your last theory that it's good to have centrists who follow the law, read the Constitution, and do what's right, because inevitably they come out on the right side, in my opinion. Nevertheless, I want to take real issue with you as to the strategy of appointing a young person. Now, I'm an old person, but what's interesting to me is that young people will preserve your philosophy for a long time. And why in the world would you appoint older people, although I love Garland's presentation, when you could have a Roberts-like but a progressive who would be there for the next 50 years?
You don't even know. People's opinions change over time. There's no guarantee that the way someone thinks today is going to be the way they think in 25, 30
years. Absolutely true. When you had Justice Black, for example, you kids probably don't remember him.
No,
but he was the great Supreme Court
Justice.
Mm-hmm. He had been a member of the KKK, you know, and he really came around. He was terrific. On the other hand, these people can be vetted very easily and substantially, and they do that now.
I would just like someone who's not political. You know, Scalia was, I think he's close to a genius. He wrote amazing decisions.
Yeah, genius, but he was evil.
He was political was the problem. He didn't use the court in the way that we'd like to think of our judges using the court, which is to think out positions and to stake out philosophical areas. He voted and made decisions to foster a political agenda. That's what you got to do away with.
John wants to know, a Republican House, if the Republicans keep the House, how long before they vote to impeach over pay to play? And that's from John.
I think there's a real possibility they would try. They would move to impeach Hillary Clinton.
There would have to
be
some sort of new evidence, though. They couldn't just do it right off the bat based on what's come out in WikiLeaks. I mean, they could try, but that would just, I think that'd be a...
You're right.
Have you seen the way our House acts? How many times have they brought up Obamacare for a veto, even though it was completely ridiculous and didn't have a chance?
Yeah, I know. But I think everyone's assuming that they're going to gain a bunch of seats back in 2018. I think if they did that, they would risk having the opposite happen.
All ideologues, and they don't think like that. They're not thinking strategically. They're thinking ideologically.
On the other hand.
I mean, they hate her. I mean, the Hillary is coming in with a lot of headwinds. Assuming she wins, governing is going to be
horrible. So hard.
Yes.
Yeah, because a
third of the country thinks she should be in jail.
Exactly.
Right? So how do you govern in a situation?
So let
like
me
that?
Take the other side. I think it's possible, though, that if they really beat Trump badly, there will be a recognition on the part of the Republicans this is not a good way to go. Certainly that happened with Newt Gingrich. And, I think you guys are too worried about that. I think when you win a presidency in a country like this, there's always the risk that you'll be seen as being, you know, just too mean-spirited.
I think part of the worry is not just the Republicans. It also comes from Hillary. I don't think she's the type of personality who's going to be real good at bipartisanship. I mean, she routinely describes the Republicans as her enemy and uses kind of language like that, which just...
First of all, when she was in the Senate, she was very bipartisan. She was known for reaching across the aisle. But here's another factor that goes into it. Republicans in the past who have lost have gone away. We didn't hear from Mitt Romney. We didn't hear from John McCain for a long time after he lost. That will not be Donald Trump. He is going to be there with his minions, which we know are numerous and still supportive, even if they lose. And he is going to be gainsaying her and criticizing her every move.
But I think to what Alan, sorry to interrupt, Alan said, if he loses big, I think he loses a lot of credibility too.
Boy, you know? I really wish that were true.
If it's a close election, then yeah, I think you're right. I think he will be there. I think he will have a megaphone. But I think, when people lose, brand is about winning. I mean, that's his people at that rally think he's a winner. That's partly why they're there. If he loses big, that disappears.
And if his businesses go down, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah, and the brand.
And the brand goes away. I don't see NBC. I don't see NBC or anybody else coming up with another apprentice show for Donald Trump.
No. And he's burned a lot of bridges in that. Also, Rosemary, I'm just curious. I know how you feel about polls, but there was a Bloomberg poll that came out last week that said that if he were to lose, that actually it would be Mike Pence who would have more political capital than Donald Trump.
Oh, I do think Pence on the national political landscape is one more of the poison presence we've gotten from the Trump candidacy. But I think that you're wrong about it. Even if it's a landslide, that will confirm the belief of his supporters that the system is rigged, that it's set up so that only Hillary-type people, establishment-approved candidates can win, and it will not diminish his brand. I wish it were true. I don't believe it.
I think Pence will be a candidate the next time around, but he also doesn't have an office if they lose this election. In some respects,
Fox will give him one.
Right. He'll be a commentator on Fox. That'll be his
the Sarah Palin
or on Trump TV.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so sure if there's a Trump TV, and I know you're kidding, but if there's a Trump TV, they're going to be fighting over a particular demographic. And now that the Murdoch kids are basically in charge over there, and Ailes is out, and some of his buddies around here are out, then you wonder. Whether that won't redound to show the confusion between those troops.
I think there will be a Trump TV. I don't know that it'll be a cable network. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it now. He could stream.
Yeah.
You know.
True.
To start a cable network, I mean, that's a big undertaking. I don't know if he could do
that. Ask Al Gore.
Right.
One more?
We can take a break and then we'll come back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Roundtable Panel, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this short break. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. Just asking about some questions of the age of wine in the cellar. Good morning and welcome, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo.
Whoops.
And Chris Churchill here. It's very nice to have you all here. Let me go to this story, which is what I talked about briefly as we were going into the letters, and that is the question about the election may be a turning point for legal marijuana. To the red and blue map of American politics, it may be time to add green. This article from the New York Times. The movement to legalize marijuana, the country's most popular illicit drug, will take a giant leap on Election Day if California and four other states vote to allow recreational cannabis, as polls suggest they may.
That's my state you're talking about. That's Massachusetts you're talking about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we're voting on it. And I know that my wife has voted early, and I can't tell you how she voted. But I think there's a split in the way we're going to vote on this.
Really? Yeah, some conflict in the Chartok
House. If it passes, I'm going to be visiting you more often.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome. You're always welcome.
California, she'll be smoking pot, though. So.
Well,
eating it.
Edibles? I'm the conservative in the family.
In addition to California, Massachusetts, and Maine, both have legalization initiatives on the ballot next month that seem likely to pass. Arizona and Nevada also voting on recreational marijuana, with polls showing Nevada voters evenly split. And there is some question. This article talks about, obviously, about marijuana and the legalization and how that's moving through not just Washington and Colorado, but moving through many of the states. But also, I saw a very interesting piece on Sunday morning on CBS Sunday Morning, about how this was also a gateway drug into voting Democratic, and that
makes sense
because they're That's getting the funny. Young people they're getting the young people in Nevada especially to get them to the polls and say and signing them up to vote and getting them to the polls, and that it has become a very effective tool. Obviously, California has less of a and Massachusetts have less of a electoral punch, but certainly Nevada could.
And now you've started the whole letter thing. They're already pouring in. Peter says it is far easier to fatally overdose on acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen.
Yet one can still buy children's Tylenol that looks and tastes like candy. Marijuana should be kept away from children. But to suggest that legalization presents a poisoning risk is a specious straw man argument against. Did anybody say that here? I don't remember if anybody.
I don't think there was an argument made, was there?
No, but I can tell you that some very bright people have said it is a gateway drug, and we are experiencing a huge uptick in heroin and other things like it. And some of the brightest minds that I know have said, you can say anything you want, you can be as liberal as you want, but the truth of the matter is it's not such a good thing because people will
start other drugs. Neither is tobacco, neither is alcohol. They've long been accepted for use, and I think it's happening. I think
the gateway thing might
done.
Be because it's illegal, right? Once people cross that line, then they just keep going. But if you move the line over, then they haven't done something illegal, and you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do know what you're trying to say. I have to say, I would tell my classes I had never smoked pot in my life, and they would all break down in great gleeful mirth.
Laughing at
you? Yeah, laughing at me and saying they didn't believe me. But the truth is that it is we have created an underground now. And that's one of the greatest arguments of the greatest arguments for legalizing. But along with that, I think I said this before, but along with that comes the idea that you pick somebody up weaving all over a highway, and you'd had just better, and I mean better, figure out a way to test effectively for whether or not they're under the influence, and then to be very strict with them after that.
We're all going to have driverless cars soon anyway, so you can be stoned and drive.
Well, what happens if you put...
actually. It's making old age sound pretty good.
What happens if you put marijuana in the gas tank?
You know, marijuana gets this big old bad reputation. We tried banning alcohol. Look what happened. And the same thing with marijuana. It has made the drug cartels rich. They just sell that stuff, and it's financed all their other operations.
Well,
it's
not to mention what it's done to our prisons.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
It's a bad policy. We need to.
And all the time that's wasted with airplanes flying over forests, and it's just come on.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
But going back to Nevada, why would those people vote for Hillary if they're, I mean, if pot is their the issue that's going to drive them to the polls?
Same because of young people. It brings more.
Well, why wouldn't they vote for Gary Johnson, though?
He's
he's a bulletin board for why we should not have pot.
right, exactly. Look, makes you a little forgetful.
It blows your mind. Yeah. Oh, favorite leader? Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Couple cells gone there.
Well, Bernie Sanders did well with that as one of his issues too, and it is an issue that resonates with young people. And I mean, really, the time is just changing. It's like gay marriage.
But
it's
Hillary's
not an
pro legalization, right? I mean that.
She's careful. She doesn't say that because she's Hillary.
Rosemary, you can't have
she will be
position
soon.
In a public position.
Well, yes, her position will evolve on.
And Rosemary, as soon as somebody says something to you about something that might compromise Hillary, you're always the first one to say, well, she has to be very careful about that.
Well, she has said...
I said she is very careful about it. And
she has to be dishonest.
She
has no choice.
She has said the jury is out. She is looking at both Colorado and Washington and watching those states very carefully and to see what happens. And that's,
I think it's one
careful.
Of the bad positions that voters take. One is that they want change no matter what, so that's made establishment bad. Another one is that you have to stake a position at any time in your career and never waver from it. Hillary is a politician of the sort that I like, that I don't think is dishonest, where you take a position that you can actually defend and move forward, which is why the Clintons said, okay, Marriage Defense Act, which is not great now, but only looking back at the time it was progressive and it moved things forward. I don't think it's lying. I think it's practical politics. I wish we had more of it in this country right now.
But it's also poll-driven position taking, right? I mean, she puts her finger in the air and decides which way the wind
Without
is blowing,
question.
And that's the. She doesn't, so that's not leadership, though. That's just following what the
her definition of leadership, Chris, is. I am only slightly ahead. You cannot, as a leader, be too far ahead, or you're just irrelevant, and you cannot be behind them. So yes, it's poll driven, and it's practical, and it works.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think that's part of the politics that people are really tired of and what has led to a guy like Donald Trump.
I agree. When you see people just completely...
Alan wants to talk.
All right, Alan, go ahead.
Monkey wants to speak.
We'll talk later.
Monkey wants to speak. Okay, yeah. No. I would just refer you all, from my political science standpoint, to the address to the voters of Bristol by old man Burke, who given...
What?
Lost.
So am I.
Who, given a choice, said there are leaders and then there are followers based on public opinion. And this is a very famous speech, the electors of Bristol. However, he said, so you better follow me. I'm not going to follow you. And they unelected him. Don't you see?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Maybe not, though. Let's
get back to our conversation.
All right, try again, guys.
The problem with the Hillary that you're describing, though, is that people don't feel like they know what she's going to do when she gets into office, right? She was for TPP. Now, all of a sudden, she's against it. And they think that when she gets there, she's going to be for it again. And there's a reason,
Chris,
for that suspicion.
That's so naive. Let me explain. Trade agreements are almost universally recognized and welcomed by economists as a good thing. And so she was progressive to say, yes, I'm for it. Then you get this backlash, which is new, which is from people who are now voting for Trump or supporting Trump, saying, look, you forgot about us. It's the Brexit people. Oh, my gosh, we lost our jobs. There's no attention being paid to what happens to the people left behind when you have a trade agreement. So your position on trade agreements should change. Economists around the world are saying, hey, we miscalculated. Why is it wrong for her to say, yes, I was for it, now I've reconsidered, and here's why I'm against it?
Because
it's
nobody,
smart and intelligent.
But nobody believes that she's really against it right now.
That's because they don't like her because she's a woman.
No, because she's not. People think she's not trustworthy, and this goes to the heart of why people think that.
I want to read a very important letter.
All right,
so
go ahead.
Sorry. Hello, Alan. Do you really think it's virtuous to have never smoked marijuana? Or is it simply part of your personality and perhaps fear that keeps you from allowing yourself to let go? And that's from Bonnie.
Well, when it's legal in Massachusetts, we'll make sure we slip some to Alan one day before.
Give me a brownie anytime.
We can have a really good election night party maybe at Alan's. Wow.
John says, Alan is wrong. Marijuana is a gateway drug to heroin. No, Alan. OxyContin is the gateway drug to heroin. The pushing of prescription opioids by pharmaceutical companies turned many people to addicts. And since prescription drugs are so expensive, people who get hooked on the prescription opioids turn to the cheapest available alternative, heroin. That's true.
That is true.
There's no question about that. That is true. But it is also true that some of the greatest experts in this country, and we're talking about Jenny Michaels and others, have said that that heroin is a gateway drug.
Or the pot is a gateway drug. Yeah. I was struck, having just been, and I know you were too, Rosemary, in Washington State, where it is legal. I was shocked by how still underground and not, like, it's not on the main street. It's still in the back alley.
There are billboards in the main street in Seattle saying nearest pot shop, and it's coming out.
Yeah.
It's very organized.
The taboo doesn't go away overnight.
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think that's it. Time. You know, and it's still.
Police at the door checking ID.
Well, and it's really.
Yep. Even if you're, you know, well past the age, they check your ID.
And you're right. The signs I saw, though, that say, like, discreet parking.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of stuff.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
And I just find that interesting, you know, because there's still that taboo. Even if it's legal, you can legally go in and buy it. It's still of how your neighbors will see if they see you coming out of there.
Meanwhile, you can stumble out of the bar and nobody says it.
Not a thing. go ahead.
More?
Yes.
Okay. I know I'm not supposed to write twice, says Carol. She did. But studies have proved that the number one gateway drug is nicotine. I will still need pot legalized if Trump wins. Love you all.
I will need pot legalized
Love you all
if Trump
still.
Wins. That's a good point.
Scott is tired of the gateway argument. Alan keeps pushing the gateway argument all the time because the female doctor he has on now and then said a long time ago is a gateway drug, but the last time said she would not say it when Cole asked the question. Please have her on again to clarify, since Alan uses her as sauce, as in other mornings at 7:45. Joseph says, great discussion panel. Alcohol and tobacco, two of the worst drugs, are both legal and are both incredibly dehumanizing. Pot has been cast as a demon by the use of a racial ploy in the mid-20th century. Millions of Americans use pot, and the money spent on it often goes to the drug cartels. The taxes and revenues will stay in America and not fund cartels. Tobacco addiction is the gateway to opioid addiction. Alan, I absolutely believe that you never smoked pot. It shows.
And there's that. All right, let's take a break. We have a lot of letters. We have many other topics to get to. We'll get to all of those in a moment, and we'll move on and bring you up to date on the news as well. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arimeo, and Chris Churchill will be back after this short break. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arimeo, and Chris Churchill are here. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. The Pentagon is reviewing how to resolve the cases of thousands of Army National Guard members who collectively received at least $30 million, only to be told later that the money wasn't really theirs, and oh yeah, you have to repay it. About 10,000 members of the California Army National Guard could be affected. According to Navy Captain Jeff Davis, a Pentagon spokesman, the military offered similar bonuses to Guard members in other parts of the country, but hasn't disclosed how many. Davis said Monday that senior Pentagon leaders are looking very closely at this matter. Officials deem the bonuses in California improper and have established a process for service members to argue that they should not repay the money.
They should not repay the money. And I mean, if the United States because if the United States government says, if you serve, we will give you this money, this compensation at any price, then shame on the United States government if they did the wrong thing. Don't you? You're looking at me very strangely.
It's my money. It's my taxpayer money. No, if they got the money and they should not have, I want it back. Why is that wrong? And there's a possibility of fraud involved, that they got the money and should not have. Why is this different than like Wells Fargo, paying people for?
Oh, wait a minute, though.
Yeah, wait just a minute.
I mean, what about the people? It from my knowledge, it's not the servicemen and women who are defrauding the system. The money was given to them, correct? I mean, it was offered to them to get into the military service. So we're saying we're offering you this money. Now, the offer, the background of that mm-hmm. offer is what is improper. But you have promised somebody something to come in to do the service, and then you're welching on the bet.
Yes,
I've read these stories, and I mean, I want you to know I'm not being contentious. I don't get this. And if there was a problem in what was offered, and people gave something and were misled, that's unfortunate. But it's like the customers of Wells Fargo.
Wait a second.
I don't understand that
misled.
Analogy.
Me neither.
Yeah. I might be wrong, so I don't want to be too strong.
I mean, the customers
of
Wells Fargo,
they were ripped off. That's
a
different
situation.
I think these people were ripped off, too. Why should we be paying for it?
Well, they're only ripped off if we make them pay the money back.
Though. Wait, when you go into the... I couldn't agree more with you.
I want someone to pay the money back.
Okay, good. Now, if you'll just listen up for a minute. When you go in to the recruiting sergeant, and he says, if you come here, we will do the following things for you. We will pay you a salary, and we were also going to give you a sign-up bonus for doing that. And then you go, and you get shot, or you risk getting shot and all the rest of it. Sorry, I don't agree. And not only that, but the Army's been known to do some other things. I have a very, 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 very close friend who was running the mental health clinic at one of the bases. And the guys would come in all the time, and they would say, the recruiting sergeant would say to them, so what do you want to do in life? And they would get a guy who was, doing chicken raising, or pig raising. And they would say to him, I want to go to electronics school. And they would go the first day, and they would give him a test, and they would wash out.
Okay.
So there's this kind of stuff.
I'm more
going
confused
on.
Than ever with this. So, okay, the people are promised a bonus, and now they want to collect it back.
By the military recruiters. So
the military recruiters did the bad thing. Are they going to be prosecuted or fined, or somehow we get the money back from them?
No, because somebody told them to do it higher up the scale.
Well, they want because they want to get they want to get the numbers in. They obviously want the men and women to enlist.
Right.
So they offer them what they really can't be offering them. It's like we'll give you it. I mean, an analogy would be I'll knock off 40% off this car, so you'll buy it off the lot. Now, so who gets, is it the business manager in the magic cubicle in the back that they always go to that gets in trouble? Or do you go after the driver and say, hey, you shouldn't have gotten this car, I want it back.
Okay, I want the manager in the back to go get into trouble for this. I want the recruiters or somebody. I understand you don't want to put people out. They made a good faith promise.
Well, they got
but
shot.
Somebody has to be held accountable. This is our money that's being squandered.
Well, I agree with you there.
No one disagrees with that?
It's
okay.
Don't talk for me. My sense of this is that, they needed the bodies. They wanted to get the bodies into the Army, and they did what they had to do.
Well, but they didn't go through the proper process.
That's my Wells Fargo thing. They wanted more accounts. They wanted to increase business, so they offer these incentives to essentially their recruiters, and that led them to skip the rules. That's my analogy.
Kathy says the bonuses were offered to bribe people to re-enlist for second and third and more tours of duty, not to join up in the first place. All right.
Is that true?
And then Josh says, quite correctly, by the way, Josh is a brilliant man. He says, how many Wells Fargo customers got shot at? And there were five question marks after that question. You have to be kidding me comparing the two.
It is the same. It's not the people. It's not the customers. They were blameless, as are, of course, the people who sign up or re-enlist or whatever. But the recruiters or the bank employees were wrong. And we're going to just say, oh, well, too bad. We'll just forget about it because it's our vaunted military and we love everything they do.
We're not going to forget about it, but you are arguing at first that the soldiers should give the money back. And that's like saying that
they have to collect the money back.
Well, Tom, that's by the way, doesn't agree with you. Tom doesn't agree with you at all. Hi, gang. Rosemary is wrong on this one. I usually agree with her. Our vets deserve more than they are given for their service. We should not take back anything they have earned. I would love for my tax dollars to go to vets.
And we make a lot of promises to vets that we don't keep. I mean,
yeah, like the ones I was telling you about.
You know,
right.
Or about, you know, the quality of the medical care they're going
to
get.
Come on. I would support more money for medical care. I would support more money for equipment that actually works. I actually want my tax dollars to go to teachers. I think that's better. But it's not right. You do not clean up the military and make it more efficient by forgiving every error in the names of, oh, our service. Thank you for your service. Sure, you can make a multimillion-dollar mistake. We're not going to do anything about it.
Psh. Yeah, but again, are we still arguing that it's on the backs of the service members?
That's, my point is that that's where the law is right now, and if that's where it has to come from, then either change the law or enforce the law.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you can make a deal, sign off on it, have them serve, and then not give them the money that you promised them.
Well, Joe, it's nice to see you on my side of this.
I am on your side.
and we heard from Robert, who said the $15K was an inducement to beef up volunteers to go and get shot at. Whether it was for specialty trades or not, the men and women who signed up weren't told that. With all the dollars wasted in this country, those vets should be spared paying it back. I'm for that. Robert's a very bright man.
Yeah, ditto.
Bomb squad members were recruited with the promise of receiving a 25% salary boost in hazardous pay duty. A Pentagon agency later determined that the members were not eligible for the incentive after all. The unit still exists, but now includes just a handful of members and has been unable to fill existing holes in its staff as employees leave for other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability is all I'm saying. If you just forgive it and it goes away, how does that ever, what's the incentive to ever improve, to fix things? And what is the total cost? I haven't heard that. What's the total cost of these?
I did give it.
$30 million.
Yeah.
$30 million.
This $30 million is a microscopic nothing to the military, says Jason.
Let those
people keep it who probably make near poverty wage and have spent it on living expenses in a few overpriced toilet seats and hammers procured by corrupt officials from greedy contractors, or a tiny fraction of a single jet fighter, to say nothing about those submarines.
Where's your famous line, Alan? How about two wrongs
don't make a right?
Yeah, well, it's something that I believe in on occasion.
Okay. We'll hold on that one. All right. And then finally, speaking of what we pay, how about rates up 22% for Obamacare plans, but subsidies are rising too? The cost of health insurance under the Affordable Care Act is expected to rise an average of 22% in 2017, according to information released by the Obama administration on Monday afternoon.
How long can it be before we have universal health care in this country? Mm. Where, you know, and look, I have it. I'm a beneficiary of it. I get Social Security and have been for many years because I'm old. Why not just make that every year? You know, I mean, we all know that the insurance companies got involved in the lobbying for this bill and the rest of it, and now they're pulling out because they don't like the results that they're getting or they're not making enough money. It's crazy. Stop it.
Is it cynical to ask why this press conference wasn't held on November 15th?
No, it is not cynical, and I have a feeling there are many people, Rosemary and I are among them, who are asking that question. It's almost,
I mean, as the Obama administration comes out and says we're going to announce this exactly 2 weeks before the election,
mm-hmm.
that rates are going up 22%, and that was the main, that was, well, it's,
and by
it's
the
difficult
way,
to say what the main thrust of a Donald Trump argument is yesterday, but that was certainly one of them.
And by the way, it doesn't stop there. Obviously, if you read the Times article, and I know you all did this morning, they point out that the government will be covering a lot of that increase in rate. that the individual payer will have to go.
So are you saying the Obama administration should have delayed the announcement?
That's what Joe, he didn't say that. He said,
I said, is it cynical to ask if you are working? Yes, I am asking. So why put it out today when you can put it out next week?
Does everything have to be politics? I mean,
well, you know this is going to be.
Well, I know that it's going to be part of people are going to debate it, but on the other hand, people who are going to be seeing these increases kind of deserve to know as early as possible, don't they?
Well, theoretically, you are certainly right, Chris.
I thought the subsidies were going to just ease the
whole... ease a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, but Chris is right. I mean, Joe is raising the political argument. Almost everything that goes on in these campaigns is political. We know that the White House and the Clinton campaign are very close. And we know that Obama's out there being very political and campaigning for...
I'm not saying they should, but what I am saying is that given that so many things, given the political nature of it and the fact that they could have, I'm just wondering why they didn't. That is my question.
Yeah. Isn't a whole lot of this, doesn't it go back, though, to the non-involvement of states that were supposed to be involved in the program? That's why the costs are really going up. You're not getting enough young
people
signing up. And this is really something that the next administration has to take care of.
They fixed
the
website.
If it isn't Trump they fixed the website. They finally got that right. I mean, if Trump doesn't come in and do away with it in the first week of his presidency. And then what do you have? What happens then?
Well, he's busy in that first week.
Yeah. Did you see New Yorker did an article on what the first week could look like? Basically, he has the legal right. He actually could come in and start signing executive orders to disassemble a lot that Obama has done in that first week. He
also, for your entertainment and horror, you can check out the New York Times list of tweets.
Oh, yes, that's great.
Which is also a very... is a good read, worth
taking
a look at.
All the people and institutions he's insulted.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of mail.
All right, we have a minute and a half for a lot of mail.
Rosemary Allen, reading listeners should not have to pay incentives, but prosecutors, demotions, stop refinement pay, et cetera, for officers who made these recruiters make such offers should reap the consequences. That's from Penelope. Julius, who often can be very, very liberal, says, but not in this case. Hey, Alan, I believe that Bill Clinton also said it was crazy, meaning Obamacare, that it was, and it is. I don't think there's any question. And Mark says, there might be an issue with enrollments for next year's health care that necessitates the announcements being done in a timely fashion. The other thing I was thinking of is that it may well be that they knew that the word was out this was going to happen, and they didn't want to get embarrassed that it was being held back.
Right. If you put it out after the election, there's going to be a lot of outrage and angry people about it.
But as you point out, it's after the election.
All right.
Right.
We are out of time, but thanks to Alan and Rosemary and Chris. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org.